Welcome to the show, everyone. Today is going to be a very special episode because not only is this episode going to air on all the podcasts on Empowering Minds Network, it's also going to be on Something to Whine About because today we're going to be talking about my wine. So in case you haven't heard in the last several episodes, I have decided to start some wine. I now have a wine label and we're going to talk about that today and you're going to learn all about it. So first, let me welcome our Something to Whine About co-hosts, Michael Neely.
Hey, hey. Great to be here, JJ.
And Mr. Doug Sandler.
So this actually gives JJ a chance, an excuse to drink.
Like she needs one?
Like she needs it. We're going to have a couple of big barrels at her house, and it's just going to have one tap plugged right into it. I'm excited about this. I can't wait for this episode. And I see glasses, so that means we're going to be drinking wine, too.
Well, in the way that we do Something to Whine About is we actually taste the wine and we tell you about it. But before we taste this wine, I do want to welcome our other guests from Pacific Wines, Marin and Kelsey. Could you guys each introduce yourself and just tell everybody a little bit about you?
Yeah, hello. My name is Marin, and I come from kind of the Central Coast area. I grew up in a small town called Lockwood, and we're currently in Paso Robles, and Lockwood's just about 30 minutes north. So grew up in this area, went to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, and majored in their wine and viticulture program. So kind of been in wine for my whole career. I love it. Such a fun and neat product to get to work with. Traveled with wine for a job, and yeah, I've been with Pacific for almost for just about 2 years now.
Awesome. Thank you. Kelsey?
Yeah, I hail from the Bay Area, the East Bay specifically, with no wine or ag background really at all. But I went to Cal Poly as well down in San Luis Obispo, class of 2012, and ag business marketing was my major and got introduced to wine through their program and took all my electives there to study abroad program in Australia that was all wine focused and have been working in wine ever since. So I'm the operations manager here at Pacific Wine Services.
And I don't want to lose sight of the fact that you guys actually have a podcast also, right?
Yes.
Give you a chance just to promote that and then we'll get in.
Sure. It's called Purple Paso People, and I'm really just focusing on pretty much the stories of people that touch wine. And that could be, it's very, very broad. So I want it to include anyone that deals with wine, you know, from the people that work in restaurants or wine bars, not necessarily just winemakers, but anyone and everyone who might be affected or part of the wine industry, which here in Paso is basically everyone.
You love bathing in wine. You love drinking wine. So for those of you that, again, are new to this concept, I've talked about it on very many shows. I decided after doing Something to Whine About and wanting to do a product for many years and trying to figure out what product to do, everywhere from when I was more of a personal trainer, anything in the fitness industry, to a coffee substitute, and then those sort of not really working out or it didn't really feel like the right time for that. I'm going to give a shout out to Joyce Dales at Buzz A Go Go and Colby Gone, who said to me, when I said to her, when I'm ready to do my product, will you help me? And she said, yes. And I said, I don't know what it is yet. And she says to me, I know what it is. I said, what? She says, wine. And I thought, that is the most obvious fucking thing I've ever heard. Why did I not think of that? And of course, immediately a name came to me. It isn't the one that we landed with, but it was called Intentional Wines to start. And Intentional Wines became about, what intention do I want to have when I'm drinking this wine? As a fitness and health professional, okay, stop with you two. The guys are nodding like it's to get.
We know your
intention. Right? What is my intention?
When you drink wine?
To drink you under the table?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. All right. That's a side joke. You have to go to Something to Whine About to understand that. But intentional wines became about being intentional with what we eat, what we put in our bodies, with really understanding what you eat and consume and how it affects you. And as I started to kind of be with intentional wines a little bit more and thinking about it and creating a deck and sort of a concept, it became clear that the reason why I wanted to do this wine, it combines everything I do with spirit, purpose, and energy and law of attraction with wine, which I love. Now, most of us know wine isn't necessarily a health food. It does have beneficial properties in small amounts and smaller amounts, right? But consumed in large quantities, it's not so good for you. And then let's add on that, you know, living in California, we have a lot of crap in our soils and sprays. And we, as Californians, make the list every year of wines not to drink because of glyphosate. And I thought, well, I love California wine and I love Paso wine. We've been coming to Paso forever. And when I try to get a wine that is organic and not sprayed, I hate it. every time. And so I thought, I'm not going to just drink a wine that's supposed to be healthier for me and not enjoy it. Every time I come to Paso, I can pick out a Paso grape in Italy if there happens to be one. I can pick it out in Temecula because I love Paso. So when I thought about doing wine, I thought, well, what could I do to make it better for me? And so a lot of you know about the Dr. Emoto study. Dr. Emoto did a study with water that added frequency and vibration to water in the form of words and pictures and music, and did both the negative and the positive, then crystallized the water and looked at it under a microscope to see what it looked like. And when you added negative words and negative emotions, it was very ugly and it didn't have a shape and it looked kind of traumatized. And then when you talked about love and you told it, I love you and I appreciate you, and you have pictures of dolphins and you have Mozart playing, then the water shape crystallized into a beautiful snowflake. And each different word actually has a different shape that they tested back then, and you can go to Dr. Emoto's site and see all the different molecules they tested and the shapes of them. Now, I wanted to do that for this first batch, but with timing and trying to find a lab to do that, which I've been unsuccessful thus far, I still want to take the concept because wine is still 85% water. So if I can take the idea of raising this wine's frequency to a level which then will be then better for my body, so no matter what's in it, I'm going to be able to metabolize it and also let things go through, filter it in a way in my body.
I got a slogan for you. Your wine can be called, you haven't given the name yet, so I'll save that for you to reveal, but it could be, the line behind it could be, wine, the new happy water. Because the happy water, you know, it was beautiful, everything else, and that was because of all the good stuff, but I mean,
I like it.
I get very happy when I drink wine.
You get happy when you do anything that's substance related.
Good point.
I'm talking alcohol right now, but
yes.
No, I like that. And that was what I thought, you know, when you have something, because we can't control everything in life. We don't know when we go to a restaurant what's in the food or who's touched it or what's been around. So there's a certain amount of, in fact, there are a lot of mediums that tell you to bless your food, bless all of the food, just to make sure that the frequency is high enough that, again, regardless of what's happening with the food and if it's organic or not, pesticides or not, that your body will be able to metabolize it better and you'll be able to pass through and filter anything that's unnecessary or harmful to you. So that was how high vibrational wines was created. I thought when we drove home from Paso, one of the trips, and it might have been when we were talking with Kelsey and Marin, I thought intentional wines is not the right name for this, because I thought there's something more specific, something more direct. And so it was either high frequency or high vibrational, and I landed on high vibrational.
Love
so
it.
Yeah, so that's the concept. And you know, right now, if you're listening to this, you're the only ones that I'm offering it to.
And you also have names for the specific wines that we're going to taste too.
I do. But before we get into the tasting and looking at the wines and the names, I want to talk about Pacific wines a little bit and how they do what they do.
Yeah, I got a ton of questions.
Why don't you start?
Okay, so you just said about who it's going to be offered to. So one of the big questions for me, and I have some friends who kind of went down this path, but I'm curious, someone comes here, they want to do a custom crush, have you make, you know, a barrel or two barrels of wine. That person can't just go and sell it, right? It's because licensing and such. What's the path they would have to go, whether selling it or gifting it?
Yeah, Marin, you want to take this one?
Sure. So alcohol is a very highly regulated, you know, substance. And California, so we have our, like, federal TTB, which we have to follow their rules and regulations. And then there's the California ABC. Each state has their own kind of, like, alcoholic beverage control to sell. And so we do have to follow guidelines between both federal and state, whether it's additives, treatments, labeling. There's kind of, like, a whole booklet of regulations. But besides that, just to sell wine, you do need a license. To gift wine, that's kind of like just under the table. So what we create as a product, we try to be, you know, ask the client up front, you know, do you plan to sell this wine? And if you do, then we have to follow these steps, regulations, everything has to be on the books. If it's planning to just be a gift, you know, we can be a little bit, I don't want to say lackadaisical, but, you know, everything.
Gray area.
Yeah, a little bit of gray area. Like, you know, what you want to put on the label. Does it need to have, you know, the health government warning? You know, how accurate does the alcohol need to be? There are just certain things like that that can be a little bit, you know, not as strict. But we do, like, everything that we make here, wine is on the books. You know, we follow all the regulations of additives, different treatments, and yeah.
And then when you want to sell out of state, there's a whole separate list of rules and regulations for every single state you want to sell to. So that's when it gets complicated and you have to work with a compliance agent. And that's beyond the services that we provide. We're a really, really small team. We would love to be experts in compliance and help everyone get from start to finish. We just don't have the bandwidth. So yeah. We have a couple really great compliance agents that we work with and refer our clients to make sure that they get the licensing up front for what they want to do, what their dreams are. And we're going through that with you right now, JJ, right? Because you're starting in our bundled kind of entry-level program, but you're actually going to have your alternating proprietorship with us, which allows you to do basically whatever you need, DTC, have a tasting space, you're going to be fully covered and licensed. So.
Yeah, DTC, direct to consumer.
Yeah.
And in that case would be my next question for you, JJ, is like, because I know my friends who started Makana Wines, I mean, they had to go through this whole process, and it's hard to get licensed, and it can be expensive and stuff, and you're not going down that route, are you?
Oh, yeah.
Or you are?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool. How far along are you?
I've hired somebody to do it for me.
Okay.
and because I actually did fill out the application. I actually asked Doug to sit with me to fill out the application because the ABC office in Ventura sucks. Their customer service sucks. And I went there hoping that someone was going to help me and answer questions, and they did not. So I took all the paperwork back, which is something I am not good at. And I asked Doug, will you please just sit with me and make me do this? So I went and I read it out loud. And I answered all that I could, and I sticky noted all the ones that I couldn't answer. Then I went back to the office the next day, and I asked to answer the questions that I had sticky noted, and he told me what to do. And then I came back home, and I answered the questions. I wrote the check. I went back the next day. I handed it to them. And then, of course, it wasn't approved because of that half the answers were wrong, and the things I asked and he told me to put on there were wrong, and I couldn't really do what I wanted to do. So at this point, I thought, you know what? I'm going to sell some more shit and pay someone else to do this for me because this is going to slow me down. From now, I guess I do need to give a shout out to Nita at LXV because Nita was the one that introduced me to these ladies in Pacific Wines. And I'm sure you've already heard that episode because I've already published it because she was definitely an inspiration. I wanted to actually sell her wine, but she doesn't make enough for me to take some of her juice. And but I've been very pleased about our process here at Pacific Wines. So are you ready to taste?
Almost. Not. You know me, and I never want to delay tasting, but I do have so many more questions. I'm so curious.
Well,
I
will add in real quick just before you jump on your question. I mean, having a custom crush place and going through us like JJ is doing is allowing her, yes, to invest and get all that compliance and paperwork stuff done and get on her way quicker. But it's not cheap. I mean, you're going through it and you're still doing a lot of work on your end with your compliance. But if you weren't going with us, it would be double, triple that amount.
Oh, absolutely.
And yeah. So that's why this program is so great, because it's allowing you to get there with not as much money or time invested, and you're going to get to market quicker. And then eventually you can graduate and you'll have everything covered under the licensing and having the AP with us. You don't have to have your own facility, your own tasting room yet. You can kind of tack on to ours and we help you along the way. And then eventually when you're ready, you can graduate to a bigger kind of thing. And I think LXV at some point was here.
Yes. So. Yes, yeah, so that's how she knew about you guys.
What is a typical markup on a wine? You know, like we know what it is in most, retail industry and certain elements, but in wine, if they go like, this is what it cost, what is a typical markup?
Oh, boy.
That's a really complicated question.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I mean, have you heard of Screaming Eagle?
No.
They have a cult following. Their minimum price of a bottle is $1,000 a bottle.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Okay.
So, and then, I mean, and you
thank
go to,
you for saying that. I now have a new...
new barometer.
I have a following.
New
or
scale,
I
yeah.
now can, like,
I mean,
test.
Or Saxum or Opus One. I mean, and Patrimony, the new brand by Dow, their lowest price point is, I think, $350 or $500. For their lowest price point in Saxum. Yeah. I mean, he just raised his prices. He's $160, $180 per bottle.
Yeah.
So people like that.
That's when the demand comes
into
play.
And those people have cult followings.
Yeah.
They sell out. So for them, they can basically price their wine at whatever they want, because if you don't want it and you want out of the club, someone else has been waiting for 7 to 10 years to take your place.
Yeah.
That's how long some of these wait lists are for their wine clubs just to be allowed to purchase the wine.
Right.
So, I mean, maybe Marin has a little more, because she has her own brand as well. So Marin deals with this, pricing her wine. Maybe you can talk about that a little.
Yeah, definitely. You want to be making your margins, because putting a lot of time and effort, into selling wine, it's not easy. And especially, you just want to cover your overhead. So if you're selling direct to consumer, of course, that's your biggest margin. You don't have to go through a distributor who's also going to want, a certain price that they're going to upcharge. And that's why restaurants, like if you want to buy wine at a restaurant, it's almost three times the price than if you want to buy it, you know, at a store or directly from the winery.
Here's what makes it different. How have I made it high vibrational wine? So I own the red barrel that it's the wood barrel that it's in. And I'm renting the stainless steel barrel that the rosé is in. So in Dr. Emoto's study, again, we looked at pictures, music, sounds, affirmations, words. And what I've done is I cleared the space of where the barrels were. So I did a Palo Santo smudging clearing. I put selenite crystals underneath the barrels. The barrels are sitting side by side and they're next to the wall. And you'll see pictures of this. And I put an earthing blanket over top of the barrels that is plugged into the wall. So it's getting earthing energy. I also attached crystals to the blanket on both sides, on the inside and on the outside. And the crystals I used were selenite, which is a high energy clearing, quartz, which is the highest vibrational crystal that you can get, malachite, which is a heart chakra green stone for love. I used rose quartz, which is also another heart chakra crystal for energy and love and peace and happiness. And I used amethyst. Amethyst is third eye. Again, it's that third eye chakra. It is intuition. It's guidance. It's, you know, being able to connect with divine energies. And so those are the crystals that I used on the blanket, on all sides of the blanket. And then I also put pictures. So each barrel has
very
a picture.
Very high vibrational pictures.
Very high vibrational pictures. So we looked up what are the most highest vibrational pictures of images. And dolphins were at the top of that list, bees and sunflowers, roses, ocean scenes, sunset scenes. And then I've got two pictures that have words on them that say love. Now, that is how I started to add these frequencies into the wine. And then what I'm going to do today after our recording is I'm going to channel some of my own energies, sort of like a Reiki healing, if you will, onto the barrels. So that's the wine. So let's start tasting. Yes?
Please.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
And while we're pouring, I've got to ask too, all right, has anybody, when JJ came here with this, what were you all like looking at this like, okay, never done anything like this before?
I mean, I think something that Marin and I are always like super open about, or really that we like take to heart with the custom crush industry, is that, you know, we're making wine for you, or we're helping you realize your dreams. So we are pretty open to what our customers' protocols are and what they want and what they're trying to achieve. And so we're really flexible when we meet a new client and we want to hear what their end game is. And so it was the first client that wanted to do this, but we actually do have another client who doesn't publicize that he does this, but he attaches crystals to his barrels as well. And we know another friend in the industry, she does the same thing, the Ulloa Cellars, and our other client is Stickama Wine Co. So it's not the first time I've heard of it, but it's the first time that we've personally worked with a client that is doing as much and is into it as anyone before. But like I said, we're super open to doing what our customers need. I think that's the beauty of a custom crush facility.
Just imagine somebody coming to us as podcast producers or in the podcast industry and saying, well, I want to have a show, but I want it to be about race cars, or I want it to be about, you know, snails. Yeah. Like,
totally.
Yeah. I mean, we while we want the business, we certainly understand the uniqueness and the passion that somebody might have about first generation Mustangs. Like, who would think that my Mustang podcast would get as many listens as it gets?
But I totally get that. And now let's take it to an extreme. What if someone came to you, Doug, and said, I want to do a podcast where I interview ghosts?
I like it. Okay, I like that idea. So, because you know what? There is a market for the paranormal.
Exactly.
You know, and there's a market.
So for some, it might be a stretch. It's outside of your normal realm, which that's why I was wondering for you guys. This may be a little outside of the norm.
Well, let me bring it back to wine for a second. Yeah. When JJ introduced the idea to me and she told me about the study, I was thinking, really? We can change the molecular, you know, makeup of the wine based upon having high vibrational frequencies and music and rocks and things. And I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, I think that one thing I've learned since moving to California is that all of these things that I never would ever have considered even 5 years ago living on the East Coast – your mind is opened up to things like all of this, acupuncture, chiropractic. I mean, the things that I would never have considered before, law of attraction. Mm-hmm. Think about this as you're listening to this podcast, and whether you're listening on something to whine about, or which might be a further stretch for you to see that this might be something. But if you're listening to JJ's show already, you know that this is not something that she is throwing out to the market just to sell wine.
Oh, no, no.
This
no,
is
I
something
totally get
she
that.
Believes in. She 100% believes that this is will change the wine, what she's doing. And I believe it because she believes it.
And I do too.
And I'm not looking to put this on a shelf. And I'm actually not looking to. I only want to sell it to my community. Mm-hmm. And then outside of that, any community that understands Dr. Emoto's study. I don't really want to have to explain Dr. Emoto's study to totally. Anybody. There's enough people that know about it that would go, oh my God, you did that to wine? Sign me up.
Right.
That's who I'm looking for.
Well, and you know what I'm really curious about? Because you're going to test stuff. I want you to test, does it actually give me a little bit better buzz, less hangover?
Well,
what are the other effects that may well,
this,
that it might have?
This rosé is a little higher alcohol content Ooh. Than your normal rosé, I think.
I like that.
Right. So this is called Kissed. This is my rosé. It's 100% Grenache. Right? And it's Paso
yes.
Robles.
Good work. Yes. I'm very, very picky about rosés because there are so many on the market. And this is quite pleasant.
Wow, this is really nice. And tell me, where is it in the process? How long before we can take home a case and drink it?
Yeah. So a little bit about this wine. It's a 2022 vintage, so just harvested last year. And it is 100% Grenache that comes from like the east side, Paso Robles, from the Vahali Vineyard. They do a really good job with farming and, again, glyphosate-free farming. And I like rosés of Grenache because Grenache is a very fruit-forward. It's light. You can farm it for a red wine, but this one was farmed for rosé. So kind of bigger berries. Canopy might be a little bit more shaded because you do want to maintain kind of the aromatics and freshness of the fruit. And the color on this, is a slight kind of like, I don't want to say like orange, but some people say like onion skin, a little peach, salmon. And
strawberry.
Aromatics on this are beautiful and lovely. I love the acid on this, and it's all stainless steel fermentation and stainless steel aging. So just to maintain the aromatics, we don't want a ton of oxygen exposure with this. And I believe it's like
13.7%
alcohol. So that's a nice range for rosé. A little bit kind of on the higher end. I don't like to see rosés above 14 because I think the alcohol just kind of, overtakes the wine. It's a little bit out of balance that way. This is a perfect, solid rosé.
Literally 60 minutes ago, you told Krista you would not be coming home with a case of wine. And yet I'm feeling like your first sale.
He won't be because it's not ready. It's not bottled yet. He can't leave
that's
with a wine anyway.
That's my saving grace. It's not ready yet.
I think another thing to point out is that a lot of rosés can be done almost as an afterthought or they have something left over. This was done, grown with intent, kind of your theme, intent to make rosé. And so there's that intentional kind of thing going through it. And so it's made very specifically to have this beautiful color and aromatics and everything. So I think it's a perfect match for you.
I agree. And before we jump in, I know you're chomping to say, we didn't do our ting ting. Come on.
Oh, that wasn't what I was chomping about, but okay. Cheers.
Got to get that sound in there.
Love
so,
these glasses
thank
too.
You, Marin, for reminding me. Yes, I forgot to say all of these wines are glyphosate free farmed. So, until we test the wine, and you have glyphosate in your water, you have it every. It's so pervasive. I just wanted to make sure that the grapes that I was buying and then using in the juice wasn't touching, that someone didn't spray them directly, and that the farm doesn't spray glyphosate. So I get to say it's glyphosate-free wine.
Yeah.
Farming. So that will reduce the possibility of chemicals that we don't want in our body on top of the high vibration.
Everything else.
Because I wouldn't honestly take a wine that had glyphosate and try to do this with. This was my one thing. I was like, the one thing has to be, besides it's from Paso, is it can't have any glyphosate. Yep. I will not put my body at that kind of risk, knowing in my brain that it's been sprayed.
Yeah.
So it has been sprayed, but not with glyphosate. And so that's the point. So
this is perfect segue into my next series of questions. I kind of call the series, but it's all one question. What choices does the winemaker, buyer, in this case, JJ, get to make in the process? So like, you can choose varietal, whether you're blending or not, barrel choices. I know you prefer French oak over American oak. How long in the barrel? What all do you get to choose in the process, like the no glyphosate?
Yeah. So the rosé, for example, let's say maybe a client wanted maybe a more pink hue, and that's just a visual thing, and that just maybe that's something that they can market better. It looks better on a shelf, but like JJ said, she's just making this wine for her and her clients. So like color is things we can adjust, acidity. Maybe they do prefer a lower alcohol or higher alcohol. There are things that we can do to lower or raise the alcohol in the wine. I do have clients that like oak in their rosé. So this one is stainless steel, but if we did want to make some oak additives or add some oak adjuncts, we can totally do that. So for the rosé, like we can kind of sky's the limit. Same with the red wines. Like we have, you know, what we have pre-made, you know, the base wine, but JJ kind of came to us like, let's make a blend. So great. We have these, you know, base components, and we had a sit down of, okay, let's, you know, start with a primary of this and maybe add in, you know, 5-10% of these wines. We didn't like one, kick that one out, you know, add some more of this one. So it just takes time like that. But with, as long as the client kind of knows, you know, the direction they want to go, then I can step in and be like, okay, here are the suggestions I have to make. But yeah, kind of anything that, you know, at least within the legal limits of the TTB, we can add. Yeah, we'll try it.
And within the parameters of what you want on the label, like JJ, you wanted the glyphosate free. So we had to go to certain vineyards and double check that they were using those practices, or they're Paso Robles. So a certain percentage of the grapes have to come from a Paso vineyard to have that AVA on the label. Same thing goes for vintage and all of that. So there's certain, if she has those parameters, there's certain things we have to follow. And we were able to do that really well. And I will say another great thing about this program is that if JJ had started from scratch, say going to a vineyard and going from grape to bottling, it would be at least 2 years, maybe 3 or 4 years until she'd have the product in hand. And that's the wine business in general. The return on investment can be upwards of, if you own your own vineyards, 5 to 10 years, because when you plant, you can't use those grapes for the first 3 to 5 years. And then when you make the wine, then you have to age it. So you have another 2 to 3 years before it's in bottle. And then do you want to bottle age it a little bit? So then you have another, whatever, 18 months or something. So the time and the return on investment can be a long, long time. And that's why wine, having this bespoke barrel program where we have these base wines kind of almost already done, but you still have that time to tinker. It's, like I said, a great entry point. And you still get to customize your profile.
When I told Nita that we were here to... with the wine, she said, oh, you did that really fast. I said, well, and actually I even delayed. I mean, we were talking since last year, and I was even thinking of maybe bottling as early as March. And then I was like, no, that's too soon. I need more time. And then we end up pushing it. So actually, Michael, we bottled at the end of May. So I'll have the bottles at the end of May. And so I haven't heard if you like this.
Now, that's for the rosé.
Yeah. No, all both of them.
Oh, I'm not going to tell you. Oh, you'll even
You're
have
not going to tell
either.
Me if you like my wine?
No, this one I don't like. I love it.
Well, can you talk about what hints you get? Because I have some very specific ideas about this.
Yeah, all right. I'm going to need more to tell because I just polished that off. I love it so much. So here we go. Thank you, Mary. I'm still having a hard time figuring out exactly the fruit that I'm getting, but I love the sweetness in the nose.
Did you get seconds?
Oh, yes.
He did.
Apricot and peach, for
I get
sure.
Strawberry.
Strawberry.
I get more of like a cantaloupe. Or like
it's strawberry, but there's something melon. Else a little bit. I haven't
strawberry apricot.
Yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would get strawberry apricot on the mm-hmm. palate, not on the nose.
Yeah, a little confectionery, kind of like cotton candy.
Definitely mm-hmm. the sweet notes of that mm-hmm. candyish bit.
I sense this is a good breakfast wine for you, Michael.
You almost made me spit that. Be careful when you say something like that. This is a good breakfast wine.
So let me just give you, besides the fact that you know it's 100, we talked a little bit about the specs of the wine. It's called Kissed. And on each bottle, there is an affirmation statement. And this one says, I am kissed with love, abundance, and joy. So again, I'm adding in the affirmation on the bottle. There'll also be a crystal on the neck of the bottle as well to maintain the frequency after it's bottled.
You know, if this stuff takes off, you could start selling it at Cafe Gratitude.
You mean when this stuff takes off? You know, what was really interesting, as soon as I saw the label and then the back label also, I got that a little bit of emotion going. I'm like, oh, this is really, I mean, not that you didn't know that this was really happening, but I start now for me, now it's the reality of it is sinking in. I'm like, oh, that's a really cool label. Oh, that's a really cool, yeah. Well, I've had two sips of it too, so you know I'm drunk already.
It's only our fourth trip here, and now it's starting to sink in. I have a wine
and bottling
label.
Day too will be pretty powerful.
Emotional, yeah.
Having the product in your hands, like it's stressful for us on the end because we have to make sure, is it the right cork, is it the right bottle, is it the right label, all happening because at once. We try to bottle quite a few clients all in one day just to cover costs. But yeah, once you have the bottle in your hand, it's like wow, okay, and then you kind of have this relief of like it's done and like here
it's
we
there,
go,
yeah.
You've got me excited about maybe trying this at some point when I grow up.
When you grow up, right. Well, you have to first have the investment for all the things included if you're going to sell
it. No, first you have to register your LLC because you haven't done that yet.
That's true.
But
all right.
But so I don't want to sell it, but go ahead.
Let's go back to the wine. That's fine. You can buy it and gift it. It's much more affordable to do that.
Just drink it.
Absolutely. It's super fun to make your own, or you know, making it from the start, of course. But yes, it's a wonderful program for that. Yeah. Absolutely. So let's move to the red, yes?
No, well, you haven't. You want me to revisit.
Okay.
I'm getting definitely the strawberry, and I think a little bit on the back end as I start to feel that cantaloupe slip in there some. It's just really, I love it. This is really tasty.
But my favorite thing about really well-made rosés like this is that it smells, has those beautiful smell like roses and sweet confectionery, like Marin said, but the palate is nice and crisp and dry.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like super pleasant. It tastes more like a serious wine. I mean, rosé is always fun, but it's like a real wine.
And while Michael's finishing his, I will mention that when we first started and I got the samples, they sent me a Chardonnay. And of course, you know me with Chardonnay. I'm like, okay, no. And then I tasted it and I was like, oh my God, this is really good. And then we had the conversation of I can't sell a Chardonnay because I don't like Chardonnay. And they're like, no, it will really sell well. I'm like, I can't call it Chardonnay. I don't sell Chardonnay. Yeah. So by the time we got back up here, it was gone. So it got taken care of. And then they had the rosé, which I didn't pick last time. And I was like, oh, thank God. I mean, again, that was a really good Chardonnay. And I would have called it a name and called it white wine. And I wouldn't have called it Chardonnay. But for any of you Chardonnay drinkers, I'm sorry. It's not that I hate Chardonnay. It's that it isn't my favorite white grape. I love Roussanne. I love Viognier. And Chardonnay is just so like vanilla. I'm so over it. And it can be too thick. And
I'm the same.
Viscous. And I just.
But it was a good Chardonnay.
It was the best Chardonnay I ever had.
Yeah, that's a win. That's a win for Marin.
The best Chardonnay I'd ever had. I was impressed and excited about it, actually. And then we got up here, and you're like, oh, it's sold out. We're gone. It's gone. I'm like, oh, okay. And then I was super happy that we had – because Grenache is also one of my favorite grapes. So this makes me very happy. All right, so let's move.
By the way, just before we move on, I would say that would also go really good on my Captain Crunch. I mean, for a breakfast wine. It's so good.
All right, so we're moving on to the red. All right, so this is an 85% cab. Again, all from Paso, the cab. Again, glyphosate, farming free. All of it is. And when I tasted it, I did like the cab, but you know me in reds. And I thought, I need something with a little bit more of a kick, a little bit more of a body, a little bit more of a back end, a little bit more of some legs on the back end. So this is actually 5% Syrah, 5% Tempranillo, and 5% Zinfandel. And we had a really fun time blending this when we were up here. So much so that by the time we were done blending it, I wondered, oh my God, am I actually going to like it? Because, you know, your palate starts to get numb after you taste a couple times. And I thought, I like it now, but that's after I've been drinking. So we were very happy last time we came up. And there is a little extra oak in here. So talk to me, Michael. And while you're still smelling, and so the affirmations, this is called Enveloped. This wine is called Enveloped. So I wanted to give it sort of a sexy name of red wine. That's what I wanted the wine to do, is to envelop you. And the affirmation on this bottle is, I allow myself to be enveloped in love, passion, and purpose.
It's beautiful. Mm. Yeah.
When did you add the oak, Marin?
So we added the oak right after we made the blend, and I believe we made the blend about a month and a half ago, maybe two months ago.
Okay, so it's had some significant time.
Yeah. So what we did is we added oak staves in the barrel, and what that is basically when you make an oak barrel, you usually have bits and pieces that get cut off and don't make the cut in a barrel. And so Genius is, you know, using kind of like the leftovers, and they still toast it like a regular barrel, kind of add a chain to it, and we can add it inside the barrel. So it kind of gives a perception of like, you know, new French oak, but without having to buy a new barrel. And you can have extraction times, you know, 3 to 6 months. So we're almost at the 3 month mark. And yeah, you can kind of get that oak punch in the back. And me, I'm a sucker for oak. I love oak.
Me too.
Yeah, I do too. And I haven't tasted it yet, but I can say this, and I don't think I've ever used this to describe the bouquet of a wine or the smell at all, but I'm getting new car leather. Okay, leather I've used before, but new car leather. It's really
vanilla. I get that oak vanilla in there. I smell it. I can smell it.
Well, actually, since the last time we were here, I can taste the oak more. So this is good, because I definitely want it to.
How can Turnkey become your first corporate client? Because I want to have my my clients be able to have all of these wines.
Well, let's talk after. let's have a business discussion.
All right, I like this idea.
But yeah, this was a pretty cool blend to do. Like JJ said, she wanted to have Paso Robles wine. So we did a Cabernet Sauvignon 21 vintage that was Paso. I really liked the fruit. It had good color, good intensity. It was very Paso Cab. But to build upon that, I chose some, you know, bits and pieces that might, you know, kind of work in the backbone. And so we did a Syrah, Tempranillo, and Zin. And those are kind of known for, you know, high tannin, a little bit more intensity, kind of concentrated flavors, just to kind of help with the cab and like build it up, give it length, a lot of structure. The tannins are just super velvety and smooth.
It's nice long finish.
Mm-hmm. I wanted each part of the palate represented. I wanted a front end fruit, I wanted a middle palate, and I wanted a nice finish.
Yeah.
It's a cab with an STZ. Just be very careful.
STZ.
Just be very careful.
Right. You know what's interesting to me about it is the nose, I think, again, has that leathery richness I'm feeling. When I say leather, for me, that's that just envelops you, which is kind of in your title, too. But when I drink it, and you talk about the long finish, it's like it pops open at the back end where you've got that deep richness, and then it becomes bright at the end, which was interesting to me, and I'm really digging that.
Thank you.
It's the crystals.
Maybe
that's
it is.
The crystals.
It could be. It's high vibrational.
Yeah,
baby.
Well, we don't know, but I can tell you that from the last time we tasted to today, the oak has definitely been setting in more because it had just been put in 2 weeks before last time we were here. And again, it doesn't get bottled for another month, so it's going to sit in oak for another month. And so I think the complexity is going to get even a little deeper. But yeah, I really, you know me, with I want the full experience on my palate. I don't like a wine that that skips over something that just has like a middle and a back or a front and a middle. I want the whole experience. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to add, again, the Tempranillo and the Zin for the fruit and for that cherry, and the Syrah for the peppery spiciness. And the Tempranillo gave it a body and like a kick in the pants, if you will. I love that Tempranillo. It was so good.
My favorite thing is drinking before noon. I don't know if you've experienced that, but that's – what are you looking at, Michael?
Like color.
I wanted the white background to kind of get a little more on the color here, and I love the color of this. It's really –
it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's so kind of an unusual blend. I mean, mm-hmm. I love that you were open to letting us play around with maybe varietals that you wouldn't otherwise, like, picked. And so we just kind of were like, we have this really great Tempranillo, and we all taste it. We're like, oh, that's, like, our favorite.
Right.
And somehow we found a way to incorporate it. And that's the really fun part about blending. It's completely custom. No one else is going to ever have this blend except you.
Right.
Right. And that's what I was wondering about when you, like, what you get to choose, JJ, or anybody that you're doing a custom crush for. What do they get to choose? And I love that you get to mix the blend. And it was really interesting to just share a little side story was one time I was doing a master blender kind of a fun event up in Santa Rosa. And I made the mistake, the guy who was walking around who was working the thing, I didn't like any of the wines we were blending. And I asked him, can you make a decent wine out of three blends that you don't like? And he was the winemaker, unfortunately. But he did say, yeah, sometimes you can, which was interesting. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, it just kind of takes like a little bit of doctoring. So maybe it is, you know, like adding more oak, and there are other additives that are natural. So maybe there are some like yeast mannoproteins, which add mouthfeel and viscosity and maybe hide some of the astringent characteristics that this wine might have. Or there's like fining products where you can add some like proteins that like make the wines less tannic. Or, you know, there are some coloring things that we can do or add sweetness. So it, you can tinker with a wine that's maybe not up to par.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it really does start in the vineyard where you have to have a good source of fruit. And then really it makes a winemaker's job easy when I don't have to do very much.
Well, now when you chose the blend, so now you chose to add these three other varietals in there. Do you guys as, you know, specific wines, do you say, if you want to add a Zin, here are three different Zins we can add? Or do you have, here's the Zin you could add, here's this, so that then you, did you taste multiple and go,
yes,
let's add this?
No, not I didn't taste multiple of each varietal.
But you tasted the varietals that you may
want
to
I looked at the
add.
List of what was available and what we thought, and I gave them my favorite, like Kelsey was saying, I was open to the Tempranillo because I like Tempranillo, but I love Syrah, I love Zin, I love Grenache, I have my favorite grapes and I wanted to incorporate them. But I also wanted to incorporate them because of what I wanted the wine to taste and feel like in my mouth. And, you know, Syrahs to me always have a nice finish. Zinfandels always have really good fruit. And I wanted those things to add it to be the cab. That was the main ingredient here was the cab. But when we, I think you had other wines too, we played with and we just did percentages. We went 10% of one, 10% of two. We did 5% of two and ten, you know, we played with different amounts and but we landed on this one because again I was looking for a certain mouthfeel, a certain flavor profile, a certain complexity. And I like the convenience of this because I never want to have necessarily a wine store or I don't want to have a location. So I do like that. Again, yes, I would like to make money from this because I want to cover what I've paid and make this venture worthwhile. This isn't because of money. I'm not doing
it's
this. It's a passion project that at the end of the day, if it doesn't work out for whatever reason, I get a lot of really great wine. And that's how I looked at it. It's like, what's the risk in this for me?
Yeah.
And then what's the possible reward? A thriving business of people that want to get on my wine club list because they want their wines to be energized with high frequencies so that it's better for them and they like that it's glyphosate free. So if you're interested in learning more about High Vibrational Wines, please go to highvibrationalwines.com and you can learn more. I want to, you guys, pitch your business and tell us if you're interested in doing your own wine with Pacific Wines.
Yeah, we're taking new clients for the Bespoke program. If you already have a brand and you need a place to do crush, you know, we have about 70 to 75 clients that are a mixed bag of the Bespoke program, but also people who have tasting rooms who are making their own project on the side. We service everything in all between. So we still have a bunch of room for, you know, case goods storage, barrel storage, crush for the 2023 harvest. If you're interested, you just get in touch with us, call us, go on our website or search us on Google, Pacific Wine Services. You can also get to the Bespoke program on that page too.
Yeah.
All the links will be in the show notes.
And I think the biggest risk, kind of, as you said, JJ, you end up with a lot of wine. The big risk, Doug, you're going to have to build more wine cabinets at home to store all of this.
Well, it's a good thing we're in Paso because I bought a bar. So we're going to pick up the bar right from here.
Right, next. Hey, and I got to say this too, because I know you love Paso grapes, but you also mentioned about like if JJ's going to start to source her own grapes for a few future crushes. I was just in, and we didn't do an episode there, but we all have to go to Texas sometime, okay? I was in Austin, and right outside of Austin, there's this little area called Fredericksburg,
yes,
which is a big wine region now. And they have Paso, like I ordered some wine. Of course, it was Paso grapes, so they're sourcing grapes, even in Texas, all the way from here.
Was it Serrano? Was that the brand?
It might have been.
They used to have a tasting room here in Paso.
Oh, okay.
So they just moved there. I know them. They're amazing, and their wine is amazing.
There's great
wines they're gonna be doing,
in that region. I had no idea.
And they're going to do Texas wine, but they're also going to keep their sources here to do Paso wine. And then eventually they'll have two tasting rooms. But Serrano, shout out. Small
why
world.
Why do I got to go to Texas to get Paso wine? They're buying grapes from Paso. I'm just coming back to Paso.
I'm just saying that you could also have other grapes brought in from here if you wanted to, you know, like if you wanted Sonoma or Napa grapes, you could also. But you guys will do that if someone wants to source their grapes even from elsewhere.
Also, I want to be one of your Bespoke salespeople. So anybody that is interested
what's the
in
commission?
Wine, I don't care what the commission is. I want to send people to you. Let's figure out an affiliate program. That's
exactly. There we go.
Yeah, I mean,
bottles of wine.
We really pride.
We work
ourselves
for wine.
On you know, the quality and like the thoughtfulness, you know, we put into this because, you know, again, this is your wine, but we still take pride in like, wow, we made a really good product, and we're a small team of four, but winemaking is our passion here, and hopefully that really shows.
I just want to share this before we wrap, and JJ, I want you to have the final word, of course, or you should have the final word, of course. But, you know, we came into Pacific Wines, and you come in, and there are these huge containers of all of these wines that are here, and then there's JJ's two barrels of wine. And easily you could have said, sorry, we just don't deal with that kind of volume. And that wasn't what you did. You not only embraced JJ as a future customer, but you encouraged her and you went through the process. And I know that we have been higher maintenance than most of your very large clients that are here.
Not even close.
But we but we so appreciate, or I'm sure, and JJ will share this with you, but I'm sure that she appreciates
what you have done. You've really created an environment that was welcoming for a new customer and encouraging for a new customer who has no knowledge of winemaking before we came here. So,
oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I was just going to say, we have a new bumper sticker, too, that we can create now. We'll work for wine. Yeah. Okay, yeah. That's our new bumper sticker. We're going to put that in our merch.
No, I think it definitely helped that you're both women and open-minded, because I think if I would have brought this idea to a man, even though I would have held my own and said, I don't care what you think, having... Yeah. What? Well, you, I know, I said, well, besides you two.
You said brought it to a woman. Like, if you would have brought this idea to me as a winemaker, I would have said, fuck yeah, let's give it a try. Let's see what happens.
But we're not the usual men, Doug. True.
You're a unicorn. You're both unicorns.
We're unicorns.
Yeah. You're not the typical guy, because you're both in a conscious space, and, you know, you're kind of fake married to me. So you're already in this world, and you've already had your mind blown with law of attraction just with us getting together. So I do appreciate the customer service aspect of the sort of lack of judgment and the safety that I felt in working with you guys. So if it's something that you're considering, definitely reach out to them, because they're wonderful to work with and very helpful. And again, this project. So the label I had designed before I got here, or I was working on it, because again, if I only do this one time, I want the label to be me. And so those of you that know, I have the Releasing the Goddess Within podcast. There was an image created for me, a goddess who's me with a big lion or tiger in the image. And I thought, as we were designing this label with somebody else, he was making a goddess, and I thought, no, that's not right. I said, can you make it look more like her? And then he couldn't. And so then I went back to that designer, and I said, make me a new image. And she did. And then I gave that to the designer, and he put on the label. And while this isn't necessarily only for women, I thought, you know what? If I'm only doing this once, I'm going out with a bang. I want my goddess on the label. So this is actually going to be the only time that this label is going to be on this wine. I might reserve it if I do this again for like reserve wines or library wines. But this is the only time. This is sort of the flagship moment of getting on board. If you're interested and if you're curious, even if it's something you don't want to continue drinking down the line, but you want to try it out because of this, or test out if wine gives you a headache, and maybe this won't because of the lack of glyphosate and the high frequency that it will be delivered to your body. I really just want to sell to those of you that are interested and understand the concept. So if you're at all interested or curious, I would really appreciate and welcome your support with this. Go to highvibrationalwines.com. Check the show notes for all of the other links that we've mentioned today. And I can't wait to hear how you like the wine.
One of the things I love about the wine, especially the rosé, is it's a very clean rosé. Like when you drink it, it has nice florals, it has nice fruit, but it's also, it has like a beautiful flavor to it. And then the Cabernet blend is something that I like, medium to full body wines. And it was interesting, as we were talking about it after experiencing the wine, how it starts neutral, it becomes a medium body, and then it like brings in all of this flavor afterwards. And it's just such a beautiful wine. And with the intentionality of this high vibration energy to the wine, it's going to be very interesting to see how each person experiences some form of their intention and their vibration as the wine, you know, evolves for them and their palate.
I really liked the rosé. It was not too fruity, but I like fruity. It was just a little bit dry for me, and definitely not too sweet, because I'm not a big sweet rosé person, so I enjoyed it. I would consider having this for sure. For the red wine, I also like Pinots and some Cabs, so this definitely was good for me because it felt like I was living somewhere between a Cab and a Pinot, and you know, felt like it would pair well with just about anything.
The rosé was smooth and went down really easy. The Cab got better over time. Clearly, when we had an open bottle that had been opened, it got deeper, it opened up, it got more complex. But also, I can really sense how versatile it is. So you could, I mean, I had it on an empty stomach practically this morning, right? Like just after coffee. And now having it with food, it can hold its own like with food. Like it'll hold up. Can't wait. I'm so excited. Thank you for doing this.
I love the rosé. I thought it was really balanced. I'm already thinking of who I want to gift bottles to. It's delicious. It'd be good in the summer too when it's hot. And the I'm not a big heavy wine drinker, and I thought it was great, especially because of what you're calling the finish.
Hi, this is Margo, and I really thought JJ's wines were lovely. I really loved the rosé. I thought it was balanced, perfect for having in the summer, but really all year round. And the red was also delicious, reminded me a bit of a Pinot, just lovely. I'm imagining that around the holidays, the fall that's coming up, and I'm really looking forward to ordering both.
Hi, this is Maureen. I've been working with JJ for close to 13 years and seen her evolution to making wine. And I had the opportunity to taste her wine a few months ago. And I am admittedly not a wine drinker, but I do like wine when I do drink it. And I loved what both her types of wine that she has. They were both fantastic. I love them.
Hey there, this is Helena Poplis, and I have a shout out for my fellow wine aficionados. I enjoyed the most enchanting encounter with the wine that was crafted by a dear and very talented friend of mine, JJ Pulzane. This exquisite wine transcended my expectations, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I was actually nervous about trying it because she is a friend and because I know the artistry and the dedication that was poured into this wine, into every bottle. So what if I didn't love it as much as she hoped I would? Well, I now can say I feel very honored that I was able to get an early sample. These wines, both the rosé and the red, are true testaments to the passion behind its creation. It was an absolute delight beyond my highest expectations. These wines were both captivating. And to be poetic, they sang like a carefully composed symphony. The notes lingered with a high vibration and exquisite energy. And I wholeheartedly urge you to indulge in this masterpiece. And seriously, every sip was a journey through craftsmanship, passion, and absolutely committed dedication. I invite you without hesitation to give this exceptional wine a try. If you enjoy a great wine like I do, then you are in for an undeniable treat.